Well, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Matthew chapter 1. That's the verse that Gene and Rachel read for us. So we've already read, and we'll be doing that for Advent, reading our verse that I'll be preaching on during our Advent candle time. Matthew, that's the first book in the New Testament. If you're getting to know your way around God's Word, I'm excited for you if you're beginning to open up His Word and start to learn more about how to read it, how to make it a part of your life. That's a great thing. So right in the beginning of the New Testament. So we heard about Joseph and this familiar story, but try to put yourself in Joseph's place. Think about yourself. We are American citizens, but picture yourself if you were somebody that for 400 years had been subject to, we'll call it Rome, another nation that had conquered your country 400 years ago. And you've been under their rule for 400 years. You've heard about elections. You've heard about some of the things that went on during elections, how challenging and controversial maybe they were, but that was a long, long time ago. And all you know about it is stories and what you maybe read or hear about and legends. But you've been under this Roman rule for 400 years, no help from the government, nothing but more taxes crushing you. You've read about freedom, about being able to have the freedom to do what you want, to say what you want. You heard about a government that was by the people and for the people, but that was a long time ago. You read about how it was a nation that once upon a time was founded as a nation, one nation under God, but God is no part of culture in your world. That's a long since past thing of history. You read about how the country that you were a part of was one of the most powerful, most benevolent nations on earth that really made a difference, not always doing things right, but so often being a blessing of help to many others. Now you're just a scattered people who remember what it was like many years ago, poor, oppressed. Life, nothing but a struggle. Children are going to be no better off, as far as you can see. You read about the revolution that happened when the country was founded, about the founding fathers making this unique, great experiment that was the United States of America. You heard talk about maybe there's going to be a new Paul Revere. Maybe still somewhere there's going to be that person that rises up and makes us Americans again. Maybe there's going to be a George Washington that comes and makes us this great nation again. That's Joseph. That's what Joseph was like. He had been 400 years since his nation, the nation of Israel, had finally been conquered, and they were just a scattered people under the rule of, at this point in time, Rome. They had their scriptures that spoke of the Messiah, the king that would come and make them a great nation again, but generations had passed and nothing had changed. They hadn't seen that Messiah. Maybe Joseph felt like God had forgotten Israel. Maybe God's just not going to do anything for Israel. Maybe he was forgotten. Maybe Joseph felt God just doesn't even know what's going on with me. He was engaged, pledged to be married to Mary, but not yet married, just trying to build a good life in the midst of a difficult situation. And lo and behold, what does he find out? His girl, Mary, she's pregnant, and he knows it wasn't him. Bless you. He knows it wasn't him. He knows he's not the father. He's in trouble. He's in a jam. He finds out from Mary that, look, an angel appeared to me and told me I would become pregnant through the Holy Spirit, through God. I'm telling you, I know it sounds crazy, but this is what's happened. And so here he is. What am I going to do with this? Says Joseph. If I stay engaged and continue in our betrothal and marriage, there's going to be shame on me because people will think I was the one that had sex outside of marriage. And the shame will be on me. Or if he just chooses, which he was planning to do, just say, I'm going to just set it aside. I'm going to not make a big public deal out of this, which he could have by the laws of the land at that time. He says, you know what? I'm thinking I'm just going to call it off quietly and just, we'll just not make a big deal out of it, and I'll just call it off quietly. Unfortunately, I mean, there's pain in that because he loved her. He was going to marry her. And now he's left with the pain of a broken relationship, the shame that Mary would experience. Do I believe her? Do I say, so God talked to you and said he impregnated you? How am I supposed to believe that? Confused, angry maybe. What do I do with this? What do I do with this? Well, Joseph, kind of man that he was, he didn't want to make a big deal. He didn't want to make things worse than they were. He decided in his mind he was just going to call it off quietly and just not make a big deal out of it for her. The Bible talks about him. This verse said he was a righteous man. He was trying to live rightly. He was trying to be a man of kindness and a man of faith. Mary also. Do you remember how Scripture described Mary? What did the angel say about Mary? You who are highly favored, you who are highly favored. God looked upon Mary with great favor and love and confidence. What does the Bible say pleases God? Anybody? Without something, you cannot please God. Without faith, you cannot please God. But with faith, the opposite is true. We can please God. These were two people that God was pleased with. And so God never forgets you. If you have decided to say, God, I'm going to follow you to the best of my ability with all my heart, you can be assured God will not forget you. He doesn't forget anybody, of course, because God desires what? Everyone to come to know him, right? Scripture is clear about that. But he says, you know what? In the midst of their troubles, in the midst of Joseph's trouble, he says, God is never going to forget you. Have you ever felt like you were forgotten by God in the midst of a trial? I mean, could you, anybody feel like you're there? Let me see a hand. Look around. There's a lot of people that have felt that way. And I think that's a human thing. We're all in that, find ourselves in that place. But our promise from God is that he will never forget you. He will not be in a place where he's like, oh, that's right, I forgot about that. We're in that place. That happens more often to us and to me than we'd like to admit. We're like, oh, that's right, I forgot about this person. I forgot about that situation. God doesn't forget you. Now, we may need sometimes to wait, right? Does God sometimes call us to wait? Yeah, there are times when we have to wait. Sometimes it's that we're not ready yet for what God has in mind. Sometimes God is working in our lives. I guess a simple example, how many people would like to put their 8-year-old child on the road with the keys to the car? Why? He's not ready yet. Even if he could reach the pedals, say he's a tall 8-year-old, just because physically he could reach the pedals and see over the dashboard, are they ready? No, there are maturity things that need to happen. That's a great responsibility, isn't it, to be tooling down the road with, you know, a ton of metal under your control. You can do a lot of good things and you can do a lot of damage with that, right? There are times when we're just not ready for what God knows he wants to give us, and we have to say, all right, Lord, you're thinking of me in the midst of my waiting, and your desire is to help me to grow so that when I am ready, then you can give me the blessing that you have in mind. There's change in the midst of that. There's time to grow. There's times we have to just be obedient to God and walk in the things that he calls us to. Will that 8-year-old ever drive if he never really learns to follow rules? If he just grows up as a kid that says, I do whatever I want, I don't care what anybody says, is that kid ever going to be ready to really drive? Not really, because he's going to go out on the road and say, I'm sorry, I'm doing whatever I want. He has to go through the growth of learning how to be obedient, to follow rules, to be considerate of other people, to learn how to do all those things that are important for drivers. Sometimes God calls us to wait. He doesn't forget us, but he's getting us ready for something. Sometimes it's not you that needs to get ready. Sometimes it's somebody else that needs to get ready. Does that seem fair that you got to wait for somebody else to be obedient or to grow? How many people know about life being what? It's not always fair, is it? Fairness is not a thing that you want to demand out of life. I know there's a lot of people in this world that demand fairness, but I'm sorry, life's not fair. And there are times we just have to say, Lord, I will. You know what the attitude is of us that's required when we're waiting on somebody else? It's an attitude of selflessness. Because now I'm saying, all right, Lord, I'm ready for the answer. Come on. That's time. But if God has, we sometimes have to have the prayer of, God, I'm ready, but if you have something to work out in somebody else's life, I'll wait. I'll be willing to let you work for the blessing of somebody else before my blessing comes. That's sometimes what we need to do, is be willing to say, Lord, I'm gonna wait and defer to someone else's blessing. And lastly, sometimes it's God's perfect timing. Think about Joseph and the people in his that were alive at the time of him. So at that point in time, many people, we'll talk about Anna and Simeon, who saw Jesus in the temple and said, he's finally here. I've been waiting for him. I've been praying for the Messiah to come, and he's here. God gave them the ability to see that Jesus was the Messiah. What about the people who lived 100, 200, 300 years before them? They didn't get to see this, did they? What did they do? They had to wait. They had to wait and not even necessarily see answers to their prayers. Sometimes we have to be in the place of saying, God, your timing is not my timing. And whatever you're doing, I need to do what Mary and Joseph were doing, only maybe what people had to do 300 years earlier, be highly favored by God by just walking in faith, by trying to live a righteous life to be a man or a woman of God without ever seeing the results. Or those are the things we see in our eyes. You know, we want to see the answers. Sometimes people pray and pray and pray, and they go to their grave praying for someone to come to faith in God, and they never see it. But that doesn't mean their prayers didn't make it happen, right? Sometimes we have to be willing to say, Lord, either one, I'm not ready, Lord, do in me what you need. That's that song, whatever you need to do, Lord, do it in me. Or whatever you need to do in somebody else, I'll wait for their good. Or, God, if you're doing something so much bigger than me that I can't even wrap my arms around it, my head around it, Lord, I will stay and be faithful to you right here. If I never see the blessing, if I never see the answer, I will still be faithful to you. But in the midst of those things, you're never forgotten. We are never hopeless. We're never alone. God still helps us. Even though he may be working out something bigger, does he still work in the small things? Oh, sure. Oh, absolutely. You may not get the big thing that you're dealing with, but if we are faithful to just follow after God, he's going to work in the small things of our lives as well as the big things. God's that. If you think about what it took for Jesus to come at the point in time that he did, fulfilling hundreds of Old Testament prophecies, people that were in certain places at certain times, had certain kids, God was working all of those details out. Think about the spider web of impacts on lives that were all, and God was working in all of that. Anybody want to figure all that stuff out? You think you can take care of God answering prayers that will affect that person, and that person will affect another, and that person will affect their kids, and all of that? I mean, God is able to take all of that, that would just make our brains explode, and he's God. He's able to do that. God still helps us in our troubles. He still helps us in our troubles. It may be a way around the troubles, or it may be a complete removal of our problem. Sometimes he works that way. He provides a financial miracle where we were like up against the wall financially, and he provides something for us. Maybe he provides a job. Maybe it's a physical healing. Sometimes he takes us right around a problem, or he just eliminates the problem altogether. For Joseph, it was a way, not around, not eliminated, but through. Sometimes God takes us right through our problems. His fiancée was still pregnant, right? Not by him. God asked him to marry her anyway. Deal with all of the question marks that people would have. Oh, whose baby is that? Yours, Joseph? Ho, 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 Joseph. Ha, ha, ha. All the jokes that he might have gotten. Or people saying, ah, so you married somebody who was cheating on you before your marriage? I mean, these are difficult things to try to live your life. And this was a small town. He wasn't living in a town of 100,000 people. Everybody knew everybody. So God was asking him to still experience the ridicule, the pain, the family displeasure, because I don't know how families reacted. We really don't see how Mary and Joseph's families reacted to this. They may have rejected them completely. We don't really know. We don't know what kind of personal doubt Mary and Joseph wrestled with. We know that Joseph said he got up from the dream when the angel said, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Don't be afraid, for what has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So he got this dream, and he got up, and he obeyed. He said, all right, God, you spoke to Mary, you've spoken to me, I'm going to walk by faith in this. But who's to say that a week, a month later, he's not going, I hope you're right, God. How many people have ever been there? All right, God, I really think this is what you're calling me to do. And then a week later, you're like, I hope you're right, because I'm hearing you laugh because you've been there before. It's like, all right, I was pretty sure about it that a week ago. I still think you're in this, but, you know, we wrestle with those things. Personal doubt, fears, the hardship starts to come up, and all of a sudden, we knew this was going to be tough, but then we realize just how tough it was when we're in the midst of it, right? But God hadn't forgotten him and would help him. You know how? Because God shows up personally. He shows up personally. He doesn't just leave us out there to figure it out. This child within her was from God. Mary knew that. She knew who she hadn't been with anybody. Angels appearing in both of their lives, they began to see the things unfold, particularly when they start getting visits from shepherds and the wise men. And, Elizabeth, Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, and all of a sudden, John the Baptist, who she's pregnant with, leaps in her womb, and she says, blessed are you, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And she speaks a prophetic word over Jesus. All these things start to go, they start going, you know what? God is showing up personally and saying, you know what? He's here. Sometimes it's by miracles. Sometimes he just does the stuff to go, okay, I get it. You are in the midst of this. And sometimes it's just with those God winks. How many know what a God wink is? It's when something happens and you're like, was that God? And you're like, okay, I think that was God. He's just kind of giving you this, yeah, that's all right, I'm here. It wasn't a big, wow, I can't believe this. It was just a God wink. He's just letting you know, I'm here. It was Emmanuel. Jesus was God with us. God with us. He doesn't just say, send a prophet, send some messenger. He came personally for you and for me. There's a reason why we're still talking about this 2,000 years later. There's a reason why this baby born 2,000 years ago has changed history, because he is who he was born to be. He was God with us, Emmanuel. And he has come to be with us, and he came for you personally as well. We need to take that and grab hold of that when he came as Emmanuel, he came not just for all of us specifically. He has his eyes on you today. You are not walking this walk alone. Think about the name Jesus. The angel said, you're to call him Jesus. Why? Because what? He will what? Save his people from their sins. He came as a savior. That word, that name, Jesus, the Greek, it's basically the Greek form of the word Joshua, or as it was pronounced, Yeshua, or Yehoshua. Joshua is the shortened word for Yehoshua, which means the Lord saves. That was Jesus' name. How many people think that namesakes matter? I think there's something to namesakes, especially when God gives the name. The Lord saves was his name. The Lord saves. He shows up personally in your life. So let me ask you, what is your need of hope today? What's going on in your life, in your family, in your marriage, with your children, with your parents, with your job? What is your need of hope? Don't we all have, and to different degrees, some days we're like, yeah, I've got some needs. And then other days we're like, oh God, if they only knew what was going on in my heart that's ready to explode today. And we're all at different points and different places. We're reminded every year that God is still the same. He is a God who will never forget you, will not forget where you are and what's going on in your life. The thing that burdens your heart, I have them, you have them. The things that we worry about at night and wonder and think, God, what is going to happen? What is going to happen? God, I need you to work in this. God never forgets you. Our challenge is not to wrap ourselves up in our problems, which we can do, can't we? We can get so wrapped up in our problems and it just chokes us, and we need to push them down and turn our eyes upwards to say, God, I need to get my eyes fixed on you who never forgets me. And that's not easy to do, and it still tries to cover us and smother us. Our worries do that, our problems can do that, and we just have to say, God, I'm going to keep my heart, my mind fixed upon you, because I know that you never forget me and you still help me in my troubles. I know you still help me in my troubles. As Mary and Joseph had to do in the midst of their difficulty, they had to, by faith, obey. They had to pray. They had to believe God in the midst of it. They had to trust God. They had to do some waiting on God, even though things weren't easy. They had to wait on God. They had to find their peace in God, even though things were still difficult. God will still help you in your troubles. All we need to do is turn to him, wait upon him, cry out to him in prayer, obey when he calls us to obey, and God meets us there in the midst of our troubles. And when we do that, he shows up personally. He shows up personally. He's not that God from a distance, just watching, seeing how we're going to react. He is a God that says, when you draw near to me, what'll he do? He'll draw near to you. When I draw near to God, he's promised he will draw near to me. That's his promise. That's his promise. He will show up personally. I'm going to ask the worship team to come as we just close in a... This is a great song that reminds us of who this Jesus is. We're called to expect the miraculous. Amen? We can expect the miraculous because we are worshiping an almighty God who's promised to answer prayer. What child is this? It's Emmanuel. It's God with us. It's the one who said, come, come and seek me and you will find me. Cast your cares upon me because I care for you. He's the one that said, take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light. That's the one. That's what child is this? That's the Jesus that we're called to worship. And so as we close, I want to give you the opportunity to just take a moment. We have an altar here that is just a place for us to just, we see sometimes people come during worship to just take a moment and say, Lord, I want to come and bring my burden to you and ask that you'd meet me in my troubles, help me, show up, Jesus. And our altar is open for you to just take a moment to be quiet with God as we worship and give whatever burden is on your heart to him and allow him to come and bring that peace that passes all understanding to fill your heart. And our altar's open if you just want to take some time to just tell Jesus, yep, I know who you are, and I want to give this burden to you. So feel free to come as we worship. Let's stand together.